The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I'm so excited because Akash Singh is inside the Dana Cortez Show.
Oh,
hey. How
are
you doing?
Thank y'all for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. So, you and your New Balance.
I was listening on the way in. This is which
we're married.
DJ
Matt,
you're married.
Yes, yeah. Sir. Yeah.
Good for you guys, yo. Yeah.
Why are you
look
saying,
at you?
Wait, hold on. Why are you saying? Because I married a white man.
You know? Huh? Oh, your white dad brought you down a bit. I thought you were just. I thought you were
light skinned Hispanic guy.
Yeah, I thought you were a desirable Hispanic guy. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'm so right.
I know, because you're light skinned. So you and your pretty girl, so you're like, I'm too good for even a light skinned Latino.
Oh my God.
To go the lightest skin.
There it is.
We're joking, but you're not lying. You know, let me tell you, ain't nothing more racist than an old Mexican grandma. My nanny used to say, marry a white man. And then she'd tell her sons, marry a Mexicana because they'll work for you, they'll cook for you. I'm telling you. The things that we can't say anymore that are being said behind the scenes.
Well, what you just said.
Dude, because immigrants don't care. Because Americans,
you.
Young
Thank
Americans
you.
Grew up with so much comfort. I did too. But now kids are growing up with phone. Like, they don't
Everything.
Know life.
Yeah.
Three of our parents came from other countries.
Hey, my parents.
Your
well,
parents
they were
came from
here.
Ireland. Whatever. I know it's potatoes. But they don't have time. They don't have the bandwidth emotionally for like your little microaggressions.
I'm
worried about the macro, and that's it. Mm. And then we're going to have so much fun in every other space. As long as we're surviving, that's all that matters.
I love that you put it that way because it's true. I always tell people when they're like, I'm not happy. I'm going to drop you off in a third world country for a month. You're going to come back
I'm
real
I'm telling
happy.
You, man.
Real
and I'm not disrespecting anybody struggling in America, but when you leave, you see poverty that you didn't know was possible.
And it doesn't mean we can't make America better. That is
that's
what we
true.
Do with our children. I love America, but we want her to be perfect as we correct our children, we should do so.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
our country,
but just be less, you know, annoying.
Yeah.
Kids. You know what I mean? Just I want you to be perfect, but not so annoying all the time. I can't cuss. I was gonna say
you
F word
right
there,
bro.
I can say whatever I want. Be syndicated.
Yeah.
You're syndicated, huh? That's crazy. Latino or just Latino?
Mexican American
with a nationally syndicated
English
show. This is amazing.
I thought you were going to drop a Latinx on her.
Yeah. Latinx? No, so that's stupid.
Right?
Do y'all do that?
Hell no. Nah.
See, it's a running joke
it's
for
a running
him.
Joke with him. He says he's
disgusting,
Latinx.
Right?
Well, yeah, listen. If you've ever said the term, sorry, I don't speak Spanish, you're Latinx. And that's my friend is, you know, it's me every
that's
day.
That's like a stand-up bit. That's great, dude.
He's a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, we're bonding, dude.
Yo, come through tonight.
Dude, I might have to take you up on that right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, come
Sun
through.
Devil
come through.
Oh, Anthony's like, oh, it's a stadium. Let me ask you that. You were performing at a stadium. Where was your first performance stand-up? How many people were there?
Oh, dude, it was an open mic coffee shop.
Really?
So I was the only comedian. It was like people doing like, you know, that kind of that
poetry,
whatever.
Poetry. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's
slam
what,
poetry.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No fun rap. Boring rap, poetry. But anyway, I was the only stand-up. So it went well, luckily, the first time. Second time, I went back there and bombed so hard. Oh, my God, it was awful.
Isn't that humbling, though?
Nah, it was
sucks.
The worst.
Still feels bad, yeah.
I wasn't that arrogant walking in.
How much more humility do you want me to present?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So now do you look back at that coffee shop and think, what is going on with my life? Look where you are.
You know what's crazy? I got this watch, and this is it seems so weird, but I got one of these watches that's hard to get. It's an AP watch.
Oh.
And it's like a gold one, and I was looking at it. I didn't bring it here because I don't trust Phoenix.
Yeah.
But I got my
I'm interviewing with a Mexican American.
I'm taking
that $200 watch, not the $20,000
watch. Funny, I wish.
$200.
I was looking at it and I was like, dude, I cannot believe. I remember being so broke when I first moved to New York. I lived in New York City. Think how expensive it is. My place was $400 a month, and I had one mattress on the floor and mice running all running by my face. I remember I couldn't. I couldn't afford a gym, so I was doing P90X in the kitchen. I wasn't doing it well. I'm weak. But I'm doing push-ups, and each push-up, there's just mice running by my face in the kitchen on a yoga mat on the floor.
Gross.
So to come from there to a position where, like, yo, I'm living where I want to live. I'm married to a beautiful woman, and we have this beautiful place, and I can just afford
AP
a watch like this. Yeah.
Yes.
And, even getting access to it, I was like, oh, this is – I feel so lucky and so blessed, and, like, it's so cool. And then I had to fly here and do radio shows so these college kids – don't come populate my show with their stupid ideas.
So they can complain about whatever you talk about the next day on Twitter.
That's why I need people to buy tickets now. I need you to box these college kids out. I demanded. I said, I want you to shrink the theater. I want it as small as possible, and I want you to box out all the college kids. I don't want their stupidity in my show.
Oh,
we don't
man.
Need the wokeness, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about college. What did your parents say when you said, I'm going to be a comedian? I'm going to be a...
This is a real story. This is the real story. Is my mom... I did it a couple times in college. I didn't tell them. Because I was like, whatever, I'm doing it. I'm going to be the doctor. I knew I wanted to do comedy, but I it took so much like courage to say that I was like, I'm not going to do it. And then my best friend was going to LA for a year to be like a... Or moving to LA, period, to be like a cinematographer. And then I was thinking, what if I went there for a year while I'm applying to med school, see what happens? Yeah, yeah. I asked my mom. She said, go, because I would rather you know, even if you can't do it, then wonder for the rest of your life.
Mm. Wow.
It was just dope. And my dad thought it was stupid, but he was like, I can't tell you what to do. You're a man. And then he sat me down like a year ago and he was like, hey, I want you to know I'm really impressed. I'm really shocked at how fast you made it to this point, but I do need you to know, no matter how famous you get, I'd rather you be a doctor.
You're good, but not good.
Yeah. It's so good, dude. It's so funny. Oh, man, I laughed so hard.
But you talked about the immigrant parent thing, and I wonder, because my grandma used to freak out. Like, she always, you know, be like, get you a job.
Why?
You know,
you're going
to
marry a Mexican? Okay. My bad. Maybe
I did that. That's another show.
Though. Okay.
I didn't work out. Yeah. Oh, you can't knock
she
this
had a lifetime before
two times.
Me.
Yeah.
Lifetime before me.
Yeah. That's another story.
Now you just need a docile white.
Docile.
Hey, we'll get to know each other.
Ain't the one, dude.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. So what's your next step? What's the next plan? I mean, you're here. Like you said, you got the big watch. You got the beautiful wife. You're filling up stadiums. 10 years. Where are you?
Let's be honest, we pared down the stadium. If you walk in expecting to go see the Sun Devils or whatever, you're gonna be like, what? They can't play in this space. But I want to keep growing my career. I do feel like, so for a long time, I've been doing comedy like 16 years now, I think. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I couldn't even like get an agent because what I was doing joke-wise was not like that popular within the industry. And then my best friend in the business, Andrew
what
Schultz,
do you mean by that? Explain to me.
Went through the same thing. But like, we were doing jokes that were subversive at the very least. Whatever you guys, like, the kind of PC culture had taken over.
Okay.
And to me, it was like, that's not fun. I grew up watching Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Patrice mm-hmm. O'Neill, Bill Burr is somebody I found later. And these are guys who want you to be a little uncomfortable, and then you're still going to laugh. So to me, comedy had to be something that you weren't that comfortable with. And
but I think that's how we talk about grievances and things in a way that can bring people together versus drawing a line in the sand.
Yes, but these people have to not get fired. They don't care about art. They care about feeding their kids. And I get that. So these executives and networks and stuff will be like, if I put on a guy who says an offensive joke and then we have to let him go, that's going to look badly on me. So I'll take the safer guy who's kind of doing, there was this thing that, and I think we still do it, but like if you were an immigrant or like a minority and you wanted to get into like Comedy Central, some of these networks, a very easy way to do it was just to make white people feel guilty and be like, oh, you guys are so racist. You
we
guys are so this,
ding,
that,
ding,
that,
ding.
That.
We were just talking about this.
And to me, I love being racist, but I don't... It got so, like, hacky. It's these are people.
It's not funny anymore.
Yeah, it's not
the
funny.
The white guy jokes aren't funny anymore.
The white guy jokes are not fun at all. It's just like, yo, this is all you're doing, and you're just picking on
it. It's so predictable, and it bugs. It's
it truly is low-hanging fruit at this point.
This sounds crazy, but just within this one sphere of the world, you bully white people. White people get bullied. You don't want to say they struggle or whatever because that's a whole different thing to unpack.
You're right.
But in comedy, it's very easy to just pick on white people. And I don't like bullying of any kind. I think everybody should get it. Even me, even though I'm insecure and it sucks, I get made fun of too. This is the world. So I was doing this comedy and I was very married to it. How can I flip it? Like I have a joke and maybe I'll do it tonight if y'all come through. But I have a joke that starts by saying I don't believe in women's rights. The joke turns out to be something else. But saying that is provocative and fun and grabs your attention and I hope now, you know, if you guys come to the show, demand the joke and I'll do it just so I know this waking up this early was worth it. But
it's not even early.
I mean, I got in at midnight.
He's a comedian.
Comedy,
I had work
early,
last night, so I got in at midnight. So, for me.
I get like 2 hours sleep and I'm good. Come on. That's why you don't do
hate. That's unhealthy. Why are you bragging about being unhealthy?
Is it something more than just coming in to make sure you promote your tickets? Because you have a very, very successful podcast, bro.
Yeah, thank you, man.
And shout
out to
shout out to Flavor.
Can you push our podcast on yours? Because ours is not that successful.
You're nationally syndicated. We on YouTube.
What? what is your perspective on radio, bro? As a successful podcaster, yet you still woke up here to be like, you know what? I got to come in and do this interview.
I have an understanding of radio. I grew up my whole life listening to a sports station in Dallas called The Ticket. And it wasn't just sports. The idea was like sports and guy talk.
Yeah.
So I grew up from the time I could drive a car, 16 years old, listening to, I would wake up in the morning to it. So I understand the bond people have, specifically the morning show, because you wake up listening to it. So it's a different kind of bond. But then now I've been fortunate enough to get cool with these guys. They like have bosses and like they have company emails. And I'm just like, what the f*** is going on? Y'all should not have to deal with this.
We own our show. We don't have a boss.
Oh, G's up. G's up. Y'all are doing it right. When they're like, oh, I had to change my company password, I was like, what? You are your own business. You don't need all of this. Just find a space and do this. You don't deal with any of it. And the money's getting chopped up. I'm not trying to get anyone fired, but there's like a whole team of advertisers who are like just getting a salary. Whereas in podcasting, it's like, hey, if you get me a deal, you get your percentage, I get my percentage, and we move on.
And you're good because you own it.
Yeah.
And you split it, you share it, and it's all good.
As a company grows, you just add more and more people, and it just becomes a lot of people who realize deep down they're like, hey, my job is useless. You could fire me and nobody would notice. Right. So all I'm trying to do is not get fired. That's where like executives always have notes on shows. They don't even believe what they're saying. When people give you notes on your shows, if you had a boss here, they'd be like, hey, you could try X, Y, and Z. They're just dying to find something.
Because that's their job.
Because they're not bad people, but they're thinking, I got to feed my kids. If I don't have notes, I'm going to get fired. People are going to realize my job is useless. So, hey, here's one or two, three notes.
Damn,
bro. Just spilled all the tea. You could
be a radio consultant.
That's TV, that's radio, yeah.
You should be a radio consultant.
Dude, all consultants, mad Indians are consultants, and I realize all they do is they're like, hey, fly me out, pay me six figures, and I'll tell you to fire half your workforce. That's all we do.
While applying some logic to the situation.
Because most of our jobs are useless. We're in a bloated economy. We're so lucky to be in America where we have all these jobs that do jack shit. That's
all
most
the way
of
back
us.
To the beginning of the conversation. Yeah. Literally, all
I'm
the way back.
You, bro.
Stop complaining about bullshit.
Yes.
You've got it really good.
Exactly.
Akash Singh is at Sun Devil Stadium tonight talking to a bunch of woke kids. We would love
Please
you to
no.
be
Box
there.
Him
Box him out. Box
I'm
him out.
I'm not doing this.
We love you to be there.
The army need to show up.
It's going
to
be hilarious.
What do these kids even know about life? They don't even pay their own bills. They got loans.
Oh, my God. That was so good.
Oh, thank you guys.
I'm like just laughing. Oh,
you should do a podcast. No.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.